Blog Talk Radio.
Overseer, you're on.
All right. Hello and welcome. Welcome back. This is Tim the Overseer. I thought I was actually on, and I actually had my mic on mute. So, amen. So, but it's, nonetheless, it's good to be here. It's good to be back. I'm just chatting away thinking I'm on the air. But it's good to be back. Amen. It's good to have this opportunity. We thank the Most High for the Chaos Talk Radio platform. We thank Derek Oliver and his team for providing this opportunity to not just me, but other ministers on the roster. We're grateful for life. We're grateful for the call in the ministry. It's a blessing to be part of the kingdom of God, so therefore it's a blessing to be a blessing. Amen. So once again, it's good to be back. Amen. Hopefully everyone's had a blessed and wonderful week. It's been nice, hot, and sunny. It's the type of weather that I like. If you've been listening to me for a little bit, you understand that I'm not a fan of cold weather, which is why I'll probably always live in Texas. Amen. But nonetheless, amen, it is a blessing to bring the word. In these days and times, we need it. We see so much going on in the world. One of my brothers asked if I watch the world news. I told him, no, I really don't watch the news that much because of so much of the things that are going on in this world. So I watch a little bit of news, but not too much. Just be prayerful for those that have lost their loved ones in this past week. Continue to pray for people. I know that here in Texas we're beginning to wear masks again in some places. I kind of see that it's becoming mandatory for the employees to wear masks again. And so it's not going to be long before they're going to make it mandatory probably that everyone starts wearing masks because of just, I guess, some things that have just been going on with this pandemic and just some of the predictions that they're making. So once again, just be prayerful and mindful, and most of all, be watchful as the church as we are awaiting the return of Christ. No man knows the day nor the hour. We don't know when it can happen. Amen. It could happen in the next lifetime. We may be passed on and gone from this life when it happened. Then again, who knows? Amen. Maybe we'll be blessed and fortunate to actually witness the return of Christ. And the reason I say that is because it is a blessing to be here if we are alive when Christ returns, because that means that you will not ever taste death. You'll never ever see death. So that's actually a blessing within itself. But the reason that we say that, because Paul did say, watch for the seasons. Amen. Which means that we have to pay attention to the things that are going on around us. So therefore it points to the return of Christ, because Christ also commands the church to do what? To watch. He said that, to watch. So Christ didn't make that statement for nothing. It didn't mean for you to ignore his return. It means that we're supposed to be watching for his return. We're supposed to pay attention to the signs, the different things in this world, in this life that are going on around us to point the way to Christ's return. So we are to be watchful as the church. So once again, it's a blessing to be alive at this day and time. I know some people have been complaining about how things have unfolded in the past year, but you got to understand, there have been people around the world that have been dealing with uncomfortableness all their lives, or most of their lives, or at some point or period in their life. You look at these countries to where hundreds of thousands of people are displaced. They don't have a place to live, a place to go, a place to call home. They don't have a roof over their head, clothes on their back, shoes on their feet, and food on the table. Whereas us over here in the United States, as of right now, we've enjoyed a lot of good things in this life. And I tell people, I was just sharing with a brother the other day, how we are actually looked at as rich compared to the rest of the world. So we really have nothing to complain about, because compared to the rest of the world, we are rich. We are overly spoiled in this country, because why? Look at the food that we eat. Look at how much people waste. You know, you go to a restaurant, people eat only one-third of the plate, and the rest of it is thrown in the trash, where you got children over in other countries. They don't even have food to eat. They're digging through rubbish of trash, and I just cannot imagine that. That just makes you sick to see little bitty children as young as age 5 or younger digging through trash looking for food. So we must understand how blessed we are in this country. We should not take that for granted. It is a blessing to be to where we're basically in the land of plenty, plentiful, milk and honey, if you want to say. I'm just saying. So we need to be express gratitude as much as we can to be grateful for the blessings that have been bestowed upon us in this country. Another reason that I say that is because, and I'm going to get into this here today, our Matthew's the 24th chapter. I wanted to visit that last week when I was talking about Revelation the 6th chapter. I didn't get a chance or opportunity to go through that, but I'm going to definitely do so today. I'm going to talk about Revelation the 6th chapter a little bit, and mainly I'm going to touch on the famine and the pestilences that went in the tribulation that people are going to deal with. So we're going to go ahead and get right on into it. We're going to go ahead and say a prayer. Let's start out a prayer. I know that I haven't been reading the passage of love, which I usually do. I'm going to get back into reading that. But because of I'm just trying to cover as much ground as I possibly can, I'm working on some things for the ministry. So just be praying for the ministry. Be praying for the saints. And also pray for those that are lost. Now, for those that are lost, the only prayer that I pray for those that are lost is that they get saved. I don't pray for wealth. I don't pray for money. I don't pray that they be blessed any other way than getting saved, because why should I pray for you when you don't even acknowledge my Heavenly Father? So that's the only thing now that's just me. You pray what you want to pray for them. I don't pray for them, even if they're family members. I pray they get saved, because that's the most important thing right now in their life, is that they receive salvation. Amen. So with that being said, let's go ahead and say a quick prayer. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another blessed day. We thank you for our lives, soul, health, and strength. We thank you for the blessings that you bestowed upon us, the Heavenly Father, as your children. We thank you for the greatest gift to mankind. We thank you for salvation. Heavenly Father, I thank you for my salvation, for saving my soul, my wife and children, family, friends, and loved ones. I am praying for more families to become saved, Heavenly Father. I thank you for your grace and your mercy, for there is none like you in existence. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your son, Yahshua Christ. We thank you for his ultimate sacrifice. We thank him for being the great messenger. Amen. The word of God himself. Amen. Heavenly Father, we bless and praise your holy name forevermore. We come from no shape, form, or fashion. Amen. Amen. So let's go ahead and read the context of love today. Like I said, I know it's been a while because I read the context of love coming from 1 Corinthians. Let's go there real quick. Amen. To Yahweh be the glory. Let's read that 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31. We're going into 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter. Let's see what it says. And this is what it reads. This is what it says. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffered long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now by the faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Charity meaning love. Amen. All right, so with that being said, we're going to jump right into the word today. I'm going to try to knock it out. I'll probably just be just an hour today. I know I said that the last few weeks and ended up on there a whole entire hour and a half. But, amen, whatever it takes to get the word out, amen, because we are – in times to where we should be looking up. This should be the message that's preached around the world, the globe. This is the message now, at this day and time, that Christ gave to John the Revelator to give to the entire world, and that's to teach salvation and also the return of Christ, because now we as the church are expecting Christ to return, amen, at any time, because we know. You say, well, why do you say that, Pastor? I say that because we know, for one, that God does everything on a timeline. And every 2,000 years, something great, according to the Bible, just something great according to the movement of the Holy Spirit and the Heavenly Father and His Son, something happens according to God, just some type of order, or something happens every 2,000 years. And so we know 2,000 years ago, Christ died on the cross for our sins. Now we are now 2,000 years later, and we believe that the church is getting ready. They're preparing to go home. Now, I remember when I first got saved back in 2000, I acknowledged that I saw something great happening, because my dad used to always tell us that. I even shared with my wife that something great is going to happen in our lifetime. I did not believe that it would be the return of Christ. I thought that was further down the line, maybe another 200 or 300 years possibly, maybe even more, maybe 500 years from now. But now, just the way that the world is going and the way the world is changing, now again, I'm not saying that I know when he's going to return, because I cannot possibly know when Christ is going to return. It may be after my lifetime, but we are to watch. We are to prepare as many people, and that's the main purpose of me now teaching eschatology. It's, right now, we should be preparing the church, the world in general, those that are lost as well, for the return of Christ, because they don't know what they face, the lost. They don't have no clue what they're about to face if they don't receive salvation before Christ returns. And that is the great tribulation, which John gave to the church, was what was going to happen, which is what? Great judgment. Amen. The Most High is going to judge. Okay? He's going to judge the world for, one, for being disobedient, for rejecting him. And it's time for the world to pay for its sins. Now, not ultimately, because we know that the judgment is still yet to come and still yet to happen. So we just want you to be found in that number. We don't want you to pass away and leave this world and not have salvation. Amen. So therefore, we're going to do everything and all that we can within our God-given power to teach the word, preach the word in season and out of season, because, again, we don't want you to be lost. So last week we was in Revelation, the 6th chapter, the 4th verse. We talked about the red horse and what the significance of the red, what the color red meant with that horse. We know that it meant blood. The color of blood is red. We know there's going to be a lot of bloodshed as soon as Christ takes the church out of the world. It's going to be a lot of chaos. A lot of believers, all the believers are going to be gone. The people who are playing church will still be here. The children will be gone, because the children won't be part of that. The children have nothing to do with the sins of adults. You're going to pay for that, not your children. So the Most High is going to take them out of here. Amen. So they won't partake in even more persecution. Children are being persecuted all over the world every single day, probably every second, every split second of the day. You hear about bad things happening to children. And this happens on a level, that on a scale that we can't imagine. Amen. So this is one reason that the children will not be here to suffer the persecution and the judgment which is coming to those who have made, who have a valid choice as adults. They made these choices, because once you become of age, I say the age of accountability is 21. Some people say it's 12. I believe it's a little higher because of what the Bible says in the Old Testament. One day I'll cover that with you again. But nonetheless, the children won't be here. The children will be gone. So can you imagine that people are going to go nuts? They're going to go just ballistic. So there's a reason that, see, you got to pay attention to the things that's going on in the world. People are buying guns. They can't find weapons. Then the government is talking about actually making it legal. I don't know about all over the world, but I know over in the United States, a certain space, they're trying to make it legal to where you don't even have to have a license anymore to carry a gun. You could be a felon and have a gun. I believe that's what they're trying to do. I know that they're trying to make it to where any and everyone. So do you know what that does? That means that it just takes, people already act nuts when they have a gun.
You know, everybody's a tough guy because they have access to a weapon. And now they're just making it easier for people to just live without any accountability. So you already know what's coming. So do you think that's going to be here for the church? No, the church has already suffered its 2,000 years of persecution. The church is about to go home. So the more you see the world waxing worse and worse and cold, the more these things are, the more that these things are coming about, the closer we're getting to the return of Christ. And so, again, we just want to be prepared. If you're already saved, you have no worry. All you need to do is just continue to preach the word, share salvation with family, friends, and loved ones, even your enemies, to get people prepared for the return of Christ because you're getting ready to go home. You know, I see people still on these social media sites talking about how they need to be prepared to go through the tribulation. Yeah, you do need to be prepared to go through the tribulation because you'll be here. That means that you're not saved. You have no salvation. You're just picking up the Bible and reading it. You hadn't studied it. You hadn't taken the time out to learn what the word truthfully says. And these will be the people who are just reading the Bible. They have no idea, no clue what they're talking about. The church, the real true believing church, will not be here. We will be out of here. Now, you, with that false teaching, yeah, you'll be here. Talking about when you need to prepare. Yeah, you do need to prepare to go through the tribulation. I don't know how you can prepare for it because you cannot prepare for it. I've already said it time and time again. There's nothing to prepare you for what's coming because why? Daniel said it. Christ said it. There has not ever been a time like it on this planet, nor till now, nor after, nor will there ever be a time like it during the Great Tribulation, as it will be on this earth for that seven-year period. And that's the reason that's going to be so short is because it's going to be that bad that it's only going to last 7 years. And Christ and God has only allowed to last 7 years because basically man was just annihilated himself. There's going to be so much bloodshed over the entire planet. It's going to be unbelievable. We're talking about not only just into the tens of millions, hundreds of millions, and possibly over a billion or more, maybe 3 billion. There's a possibility that more than at least half the earth or about more than the earth, half the earth population will be wiped out. I know I was talking to the bishop, Elder Bazaar, the other week. He was just, you know, he was sharing some things, his knowledge, and shout out to him for having such great spiritual wisdom and knowledge given to him by the Most High God. He was just sharing that during that seven-year period, they're going to be continuously burying people. And what I'm saying, you say, well, we continue to bury people every day. Well, no, we're not burying people into the hundreds of millions and tens of millions right now. That's not happening. In other words, you're going to see an unprecedented number of people dying daily, monthly, yearly during that seven-year period. It's going to be insane. And you're not going to want to be here. We don't see that now. We don't see right now when people pass away, you roughly have maybe two or three people that you personally know that's close to you. Maybe not even that number that passes away a year. Maybe one or two people that you know are close to you. Not even that many people pass away that's close to you in a year. Maybe in a decade you may have one or two people that you may know that's close to you that passes away. We're talking about an unprecedented number. The people around you will be gone daily, monthly, yearly, people that you work with. Again, there's going to be so many people lost on this planet. There will not be any believers on the planet once Christ comes back to get the church, okay? We must understand that. The believers will not be here, okay? There will be nothing but strictly unbelievers on the planet as soon as Christ leaves this world. I mean, as soon as he takes the church out of this world. So, again, we're going to go ahead and get into some things. I'm going to look at Revelation 6 chapter and just read some of the verses because I know that there have been rumors about food shortages. You see just some of the things that they're doing, some of the rumors that you're hearing. Some of the things may be true about some of the things that I'm hearing out here, possibility of food shortages. Again, you got to pay attention to the things that are happening on this planet. It's just too many things that are just a red flag to me that just says, hey, you know, Christ is getting closer and closer by the day, okay? So we're going to look at Revelation 6 chapter. Let's look at verse 5. And it says, and when he had opened the third seal, who is he? We're talking about Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah, okay? I heard the third beast say, come and see, and I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou heard not the oil and the wine. Amen. So scholars, theologians, Bible study teachers, preachers, pastors, those who study eschatology, believe that when it says, now heard not the oil and wine, there's some people who slightly differ on the interpretation. Some come to an agreement. They believe that those who have who were called the haves versus the have-nots. You know, only really got the rich and poor. Only America and Europe and certain countries, the first world countries, have what we call a middle class. The middle class is about to be wiped out. We know that they will be totally wiped out when the Great Tribulation starts. In fact, it's getting close to that now. Because the world always has been just rich and poor. It hasn't been a middle class until here's just recently, within the last 100 to 200 years, have we developed a middle class, as they say. But it's always been those who have, those who are rich versus those who are poor. And we always know that anytime there's disaster on the planet, who suffers the most? The poor does. It is believed when it says, heard not the oil and the wine, that most eschatology teachers believe that what this is saying, that those who are rich, most of the things that they enjoy won't be touched as much. So if you have the money to afford some of the better things in life, they'll be able to last a lot longer because, again, if you have millions of dollars in the bank, billions of dollars, you'll be able to spend an exorbitant amount of money to feed your family, to feed yourself. But, you know, again, it could be that they will have favor just because of who they are. So people will give them favor just to receive favor during this time period. So it's kind of like one of those things about who you know. And that's going to go a long way during this time period, although it will play out eventually. But for the most part, just because you have a little bit more money, you'll be able to do a lot more. It's like that now. Because they got money, they have favor. They get the best thing. They get things just because people who have money get things that people who don't have money get. And you would think that wouldn't make any sense because they get favors just because they have money. It's like, well, they already have money. Why are they getting even more favors? Well, that's just how it is, and that's just the way it's going to be, even during this time period, okay? So those who are in poverty are definitely going to suffer the most. And so you know how it is when you have a lack thereof. When people have a lack thereof, food, medicine, just access to the bare necessities of life, they have a tendency to cut up, to become upset, they become frustrated, they become stressed, depressed, and they begin to act out. So, again, you got to watch the language. You got to watch the signs and things that's going on during this time. They're giving people the freedom to carry. Everybody can carry a gun. Well, what do you think that's for? That's for them to take each other out. Again, there's going to be so much bloodshed on the planet. People are just going to be just knocking each other off, okay? And so you have to think about this. Do you really think the church is going to be here during this period of time? Absolutely not. What sense does it make for the Most High to allow the church and his children to be here during this time period while this is happening? It makes absolutely no sense. The church will not be here, okay, when all this nonsense, because that's what it's going to be, a bunch of nonsense take place. The church will be in heaven, okay? We'll be gone home, okay? And who's going to be left here to deal with this H-E double hockey sticks, this hell? It's going to be the unbelievers, and rightfully so, okay? So you have to read the scriptures and study your Bible to understand more detail and more depth of what I'm saying. So those who study the Bible can understand what I'm saying. Those who understand that the church will not be here, but we're hopefully, and I'm giving you the word and breaking it down to you as much as I can to make it easy for you so that you can also understand that the church will not be here. Okay. So with that being said, let's take a look at Matthew, the 24th chapter, because Revelation 6 is a brief. It's kind of like a just an overview of the tribulation. Okay, this is the actual 7 years when we look at Revelation, the 6th chapter. And also, through the 24th chapter, Christ describes it. Oh, man, he describes it. And what's funny about it is, you know, Matthew, the 24th chapter, basically mirrors Revelation 6, but Christ gives his detail as to what's going to happen and what's going to take place. So let's go to Matthew, the 24th chapter, and take a look and see what thus saith the Lord. Let's see what Christ says to his disciples. Now, before I cover this, because, you know, people are slightly different in our opinions, and, you know, not too much, but I respect people's study and their knowledge in the Word. But, you know, so some of us will agree on something, some of us won't. But for the most part, we agree, and that's what's important. So let's go ahead and see what Christ says to his disciples, okay? So this is what Matthew, we're going to start Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 3. It says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Yahshua answered, Amen, said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." Amen. I'm going to stop right there. So we're going to break down this word here. Because what we have to understand in the language of the Bible is who's the audience. Christ is talking to his disciples, and we know that his disciples set forth to what? To build the church. Okay? That was their job. That was their job, was to build, to spread the gospel of Christ and to build the church. So in this first portion of first verses of Matthew, the 24th chapter, when we take a look at verses 4 through, I'm going to say, 14, we have to understand that this is actually talking about, he's talking to the church, first of all, okay? He's not talking to the people in the tribulation, because people get that mixed up. People want to make that Christ is talking to, he's talking about what's going to happen in the tribulation, but mainly before the tribulation. His message is to the church. Why? How do we know that? Because he's telling his disciples. He's not telling his disciples to inform the people that are in the tribulation, because why? The message is to the saints. The message is to who? The believers. This is how we know that Christ is talking to the church in these verses, because he says, "Take heed that no man deceive you." People who don't want to believe in Christ is already deceived, so he's not talking to them. He's talking to the believers in the church. He's talking to us right now in this present age and the people of the past 2,000 years that believe in him. Take heed that no man deceive you. That means I don't care if he claims to be a pastor, a bishop, an overseer, an evangelist, a minister. It doesn't matter. If he's just a deacon in the church, not saying that deacons in the church are less than anyone. It could be anyone in the church that believes. Take heed that no man deceives you. Now watch what Christ said. He said, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Amen. So once again, this message is a type of in the tribulation, meaning the first 3.5 years, but mainly that first, that 2,000 years before the tribulation even starts. Why? Because we know that so many people, when he said that many shall come in his name, he's not saying that the actual people that are preaching a certain type of gospel, saying that they are Christ. He's just saying that the message that they're teaching, meaning their religion, that they're saying this religion that we teach is the real true Christ. And this is why Christ says, "Take heed that no man deceive you." In other words, know who you are listening to. Study your word to show thyself approved when you read the word. Know what you're reading. I tell people all the time, even when I used to pastor over the church, when I used to be in the churches, I used to tell people, don't just take my word for it. Could I be wrong? I could be wrong. I don't believe that I am. Amen. And I believe I have the confidence to believe that what I teach and preach, because I study the word and I study by the Holy Spirit, is the rightly divided word. But I tell people, don't leave nothing to chance. I didn't, because there's a lot of things that I was taught and learned from pastors in the church, and I come to find that a lot of them was not right. Not saying that all of them, but most of them were not right. And we know that for a fact, that they, in this day and time, that there are many false prophets in the church, because we have to understand, when we talk about the Antichrist, we're not talking about being against Christ. They're talking about removing Christ. In other words, removing the true gospel, the true word. So that's what we're dealing with. So we're talking about the rightly divided word. What is the right message? Because we know that Christ gave who? John, a message to give to the church. He also was, John was one of what? Christ's disciples. So John was given revelation to warn the church, but he gave the message to all his disciples to spread his gospel about him, so that the world would know about the one and only true living God, so that they may receive salvation. Amen. So we know that this message here is to the church. Now watch what it says. It says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. That is right now. That is not in the tribulation. This is prior to the tribulation that we hear wars and rumors of wars. We've heard that all our life. I know that since I was a kid, we've always heard about the war that's going to end everything. We've all heard about World War III, the nuclear holocaust, how he's going to, the whole world is going to come to an end and be destroyed. We've heard that rumor since I was a kid. We heard the rumor of 2000, the world's going to end. We've heard these rumors for many years, and we've seen that some of these wars will actually happen, that there's been two or three wars. Now, they were not world wars, but they still were great wars fought amongst countries, okay? So he said that ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. That is to the church. That is now. Now watch what he said. He says, see that ye be not troubled. So again, look at the message of Christ. Do you really believe he's telling the unbelievers, do not be troubled? Absolutely not. He's telling the church, the believers, those that have chosen to believe in him and to believe in his word, to what? Not be troubled. This is who Christ is talking to. Now watch what he said. He says, for all these things must come to pass. Amen. But the end is not yet. What is the end? Let me interpret what the end is for you, because, I know, again, being in church and growing up in church, you hear so many things that's been so wrongly interpreted. A lot of people think that the end of the world is going to happen like a war. No, that is not how the end of the world is going to happen. The end of the world is going to end in peace. The last 1,000 years of time on this planet, Christ and the believers, the church, will rule, and the Old Testament saints will rule with him for 1,000 years. The saints of God are going to come back at the end of the Great Tribulation and end Satan's rule. Okay? So the end of the end is actually 1,007 years, meaning that the first 7,000 years is the Great Tribulation, okay, which is going to conclude the rule of Satan's evil reign and his evil satanic grip on the planet. Within that 7 years, is going to end with the unbelievers being punished, and the children of God, which is the Israelites, the Hebrew people, chosen people of God, are going to finish their 7-year ministry. Amen. Okay. Now, from the time that Adam and Eve, that mainly Adam fell, he disobeyed God in the garden, Lucifer has reigned over this planet now for about 6,000 years. Amen. And his rule is about come to an end soon. Okay. So this is what the end is. When we say we're going to run on and see what the end is going to be, we as the saints are going to really run on. See, a lot of people just say that as a joke, or they just say that not really knowing what that means. We say we're going to run on and see what the end is going to be, because we're going to be in heaven. We're going to run on and actually see what the end is going to be. See, the Old Testament saints, they knew what they were talking about. We're going to literally run on and be in heaven, and we'll be able to witness these things here on earth. So that 7 years prior to the 1,000 years concludes the end of time. Amen? So he says that Christ says, but the end is not yet. Now watch what's going to happen. It says, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places.
understand that the Great Tribulation is going to take together the last 2,000 years of pain and suffering on this earth, or just suffering throughout time. It's going to be combined in that 7 years, and it's going to be multiplied. And multiplied times what we don't know. That's why Daniel and Christ said himself, there has not ever been a time like it. There was never a time like it, nor to the present in our time, nor after that will there ever be a time as horrible and terrible as that 7-year great tribulation. Lord have mercy. Amen. So what he's saying here in verse 7, that nation should rise against nation, we see that now. But it also is going to happen in that first 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. That's why I say this message here is combined of the first 3.5 years, some of the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, but mainly the 2,000 years preceding that, which is the church age. And it says, and kingdom against kingdom. That's always been for the past 2,000 years. And there shall be famines. There's been famines in the past in different parts of the world. Some nations have experienced it more severe than others. But we know in the tribulation, there's going to be famines in some parts of the earth and pestilences and earthquakes and diverse places of work. But we see that now. There are some places that probably never had earthquakes. You begin to see them more and more now than you have in the past. More famines, more pestilences. But watch what Christ says in verse 8. He says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations of my name's sake. We are experiencing that now. Do you know there are saints right now that are being persecuted and killed in certain countries? There are certain countries that will kill you for practicing the Bible. Amen. I just recently in the past few years really learned that I've always heard in certain communist countries, you have to be very careful about preaching the gospel and preaching the Bible. You can't just preach it openly like you can here in America. This is one country that you can just preach it openly, and the only rebuke you would get is from people who don't want to hear it, the scoffers who don't want to hear about the word. But there are countries on this planet that will literally take you out. We've heard it from time to time, but this has been happening for the past 2,000 years. So I tell people this is not really referencing in the tribulation yet. This is the 2,000 years of the church. The church is being persecuted now. This is our tribulation this past 2,000 years. This is why we will not and shall not enter the tribulation. The church will be gone. Amen. Watch what verse 10 says. It says, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Amen. We see that now. We see that right now in our own churches. Amen. People are getting offended. You have pastors that don't even want to preach the truth because people are so offended. I'm talking about in the church. We don't even discuss the world. We know the world gets offended when we say stuff. They've made it so easy now for you not to say certain things. Now they don't want you to say certain things in public. There are certain things that I learned that people who have doctorate degrees, when they're dealing with people, they can't say certain things. They can lose their license. And then even in some instances, from what I understand, they can even go to jail, which is crazy at this day and time. But we can, as we said, we can see us getting closer and closer to what? The return of Christ. Okay, but see, when you are a pastor and you preach the word, we don't have to deal with that right now. But they're really trying to push for us not to be able to say certain things and teach certain things. They've been fighting this since I've been saved. I used to hear about the early 2000 when I first got saved. I used to say how they were going to try to get rid of the Bible. You can't read the Bible. You can't preach and say certain things in the church. Well, the reason why they cannot do that is because the Holy Spirit will not allow Lucifer and their evil satanic Luciferian followers to do that. Remember, God is still sitting on the throne. God is in control, not the devil. So there are some things that he will allow Satan to do. There are some things he say, oh, absolutely not. I am God, and I have the last say so. So you will not take away the word right now. Not until the tribulation comes. Then they probably more likely, you'll see them burning the Bibles and getting rid of the Bible. The Bible is still the number one book sold around the world. I find that to be very amazing. It is still the number one book bought around the entire planet is the Bible. That is amazing. But we know that at some point in time soon, when the Holy Spirit steps back, that's going to stop. So you better receive God's word right now. Amen. Verse 11 says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. We see that right now. I remember watching on TV this little show, this pastor from Atlanta. He came on this little TV show, Lord have mercy, acknowledging that he was gay. His wife, he said he'd been this way. And he had been sleeping with me, and he has a wife, and his wife was okay with it. I just like, boy, you just don't know. Let's just go ahead and tell the truth. They're going to bust hell wide open. You can't teach that mess and expect to go to heaven. That's not the truth. Again, many false prophets shall rise. But this is the language. These are the people who's going to be in this one world church that's about to start. As soon as the real true church of Christ, Yahshua, is gone, then you're going to have these a lot of this false teaching is going to come on the scene, this one world church, where they accept any and everything. Again, deceiving many. And many people are going to say, while these people here, they was in the church, they've been preaching this stuff, and why are they still here? Well, see, that's the satanic move. That's Satan. Okay, that's Satan, how he deceives people. We see many false prophets right now. Okay, so this is talking about during this church age. We're not talking about the many false prophets that's going to rise. Yeah, there's going to be false prophets because they're already here. So they're going to elevate even more in the tribulation period, that first 3.5 years. They're going to elevate more. Okay, this is the Church of Babylon, the Babylonian religion that the Bible talks about over in Revelation. I believe it's Revelation, the 17th chapter, I believe. I have to go back over that. Amen. Now watch this. Watch what it says. Verse 12 says, because iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. We're seeing this stuff right now before our eyes. The love of many has waxed cold. People are waxing cold every day. Everybody got a gun. You look at people wrong, they want to shoot somebody. People want to flip you off. You know, I had somebody flip me off the other day in traffic, you know. And you know, people, they just get in these moods, you know, it's like they want to challenge everything now. You know, people want to race you, or they want to look at you crazy, they want to cut in front of you. In fact, I remember I was on the freeway just the other day, and this young lady was just acting crazy, you know, driving all in front of me, all on the side of me. I'm just like, Lord have mercy. And it's just funny that the other week before this happened, I was just saying, you know, let people be them. Don't cut up with people. No more. The church is about to be out of here, and they're going to have at it. All this cutting up and hell that they caused in the world, they can have at it, because when the Holy Spirit move out of the way and the Antichrist come on the scene, oh, man, they just don't know what's coming. The things that's going to roam this planet, they just don't know what's coming. So they think they're giving hell. They're going to get hell on earth, and it ain't going to be nothing nice. It's going to be terrible. So remember, they're allowing people to have guns, carry, no matter if you got a felon, no matter you've been in prison 30, 40 years, they're going to let you have a gun. Well, guess what's going to happen? So there's this movie. I've never seen it. I've always heard about it. It's called The Purge. And, man, that stuff is kindergarten cupcake stuff compared to what's coming. Man, people are going to be murdering you. You look at them wrong, you cut them off in traffic, they're going to be blowing each other away. I mean, you look at people in the cities, like, you know, the DFW Metro, you see people jumping out their cars, roll rage, people getting shot. That stuff is going to be happening like nothing. It's going to be so terrible to be on this planet in that during the Great Tribulation. You can't even imagine what's coming. Amen. So we're talking about the love of many waxing cold. Right now before our very eyes, people are getting shot down, gunned down. Women are getting groped out here because they're turning men down. They're getting shot and killed just for telling a man no. It's just silly stuff, stuff that I've not ever heard all my life. When I was a child, we never heard anything like that. Or if a woman turns you down, she just turns you down. People are actually killing women for being turned down. What type of nonsense is happening out on the planet? Again, the love of many shall wax cold. This is what we're seeing.
the nonsense that's happening out in the world. Oh, you don't want to talk to me? Bam. Oh, you don't want to talk to me? Then you beat up the woman. You know, you got men out here that are raping women in public places like stores. What type of stuff that we never even heard of? Taking advantage of women in public stores. Again, the love of many shall wax cold. That's happening now. People think, oh, this is going to happen. No, this is happening now. This is what Christ is telling his disciples to tell the church, to tell the congregation, to tell the believers, to warn them, hey, that get ready, the time is near. Verse 13 says, but he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. We have to endure this right now. But guess what? Our salvation is near. We are saved. Hey, amen. Once saved, always saved. Been saying it for 20 years. Believe that for 20 years. We'll believe until the day I either pass away or until Christ comes and call me home in the great gathering together. Amen. As Paul talked about. Now watch what he says right here in verse 14. This is a key verse. Verse 14, Matthew the 24th chapter. He says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I just explained to you the end of the last 1,007 years. So we are preaching this gospel, what? In all the world. We got social media sites. We've been having radio stations for years. We've been having TVs. You'd be shocked and surprised, man. People in huts now got TVs and electricity and internet and stuff. Like, maybe they got cell phones in huts now. This is what we're doing. Amen. Okay, so the gospel's been, people are seeing the word, and we want to get this message out to as many people. We're ready for Christ to return. No matter how good life is, steak and potatoes and sauteed mushrooms, no matter how much you're enjoying your big flat screen TV, I desire something better. Everlasting life is the greatest gift to mankind. I'm ready for mine. How about you? Amen. But we also know that the gospel is also going to be preaching to the in that 7-year period, because we know that the 144,000 is going to also preach that word. And we know that the two witnesses are also going to come that last 3.5 years, and they're going to preach the gospel. But amen, but right now as we speak, there are evangelists right now going to the furthest corners of the world preaching the gospel, showing people electronic devices, showing people the Bible. I'm talking about really truth. Now, you got some people out there that's not real. They're just using, you see, what you got to understand, you got to learn to decipher the truths, the sheep from the wolves. Let's just say it like that. There we go. You got to learn to decipher the sheep from the wolves. My wife showed me some post on the internet of this man that actually killed this other man over Bible verses. And you have some folks out there that don't have enough spiritual sense or enough God-given sense to know that that has nothing to do with God's people, the real true people that are saved. There are some people out there that are just talking about the Bible, have no clue what salvation is. I've seen it in the church. You got people that sit up in pulpits that's not saved. So you can't sit here and conclude that a man that – because you have some people that will say some silly and foolish, like, see, that's why I don't fool with church people. I don't believe in the Bible because – see, well, first of all, that person had no salvation. Because, see, if you got the rightly divided word, in which I do teach, amen, I know that sometimes people can't help it because of what they see, and that's why it's important that, you know, that you conduct yourself out of love. Okay, you guys walk with love. If people don't agree with you, okay, you know, we just don't agree. I've had disagreements with pastors and people in the church. Okay, we just agree to disagree. We go our separate ways. Ain't no need of us raising our hand. And the moment one starts making a threat to want to harm one another, that's when you use spiritual sense and not use the Holy Spirit and walk away. Because that's not what God is. God is love. Paul said it best. He said that we are to teach the truth in love. Amen. If it ain't in love, then you better run. He's just talking. Because I teach in love. If you don't agree with what I teach, brother or sister, I still love you. Amen. There's no hard feelings. I don't hate nobody because they don't agree with what I teach. Amen. If I don't agree with what they teach, I just don't agree with it. We're not going to fight. Fight for what? Amen.
But you got to know that a lot of nonsense out here in the world. And you got to be careful who you listen to and who you follow. Again, people not out here teaching the truth. Now watch this. I'm going to show you a scripture to show you my point. Because, again, people would think just because somebody's talking about the Bible and somebody kills somebody, they'll think all of that. First of all, the person didn't have salvation, okay? And, yes, I'll say it again. You cannot be saved and murder somebody. There's a difference between killing and murder, which I'm not going to get into that right now on this show because that's not the subject. We're talking about a murderer. Someone who just kills somebody in cold blood cannot have salvation. I'm going to show you a scripture to show you proof. 1 John, the third chapter, verses 14 and 15. Let me read to you what it says. It says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. Now, what does that mean? That means that we have went from an unbeliever to a believer. We are now saved. So it means it's talking about death to life spiritually. You've come from when you were dead spiritually, mean that you're not saved. You don't have Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're dead spiritually. I mean, if you was to die and leave this world, to hell you would go. That's the truth. But when you have life, amen, you enter spiritual rest. Amen. You're saved. Now watch this. It says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we what? We love the brethren. Didn't I say it's about love? It's always about love. It's always has been. But because you go to these churches where these pastors and the people don't show love and they don't teach love and the people are cold as ice in the church and you still going to church every Sunday when it's 100 degrees outside but you need your winter coat on the inside of the church and the snowing inside the church because the people are cold-hearted. But you still want to be around those types of people and listen to that cold message. You got to preach a hot message, amen? Because God's about love, warmth. He says, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. He was never saved. Yeah, so many people are picking up the Bible, just read, don't even understand. They don't even know how to become saved. See, this is why you got so much error in the church and so many people on the outside looking at the church like, oh, see, that's why I don't go to church, because the truth is not being taught. No, this brother wasn't saved. Let's just tell the truth. And you know, some things, he used to be saved. He never was saved. I got scripture on that, but I'm not going to get into that today. I want to get back to my message over here. But I just had to share that with you because, you know, when she showed it, I was just like, huh, I just see people just singing now. Oh, that's why I don't go around church. Oh, that's why I don't read the Bible. It ain't got nothing to do with the one and only true God. That has absolutely nothing to do with God because a man read some scripture. They had a disagreement with what the Bible says. It's a book that they don't understand, obviously. And he took somebody's life. But again, you got folks that want to come with the foolishness and say silly stuff like, well, why I don't go to church? Well, that ain't got nothing to do with anything. You still got to answer to God for your soul. So you're not going to go to church and hear the rightly divided word or even come to know God because of what you see. Amen. Lord, have mercy on your soul. Amen. Let's get back to the message in Matthew, the 24th chapter. Amen. Now I'm going to read some I'm going to show you that Matthew, the 24th chapter, is actually divided up into four parts. The first part of the scripture that I gave you, Matthew 24th chapter, verses 3 and 4, Christ is talking to, mainly verse 3, he's talking to who? His disciples. And he's telling them, basically, he's teaching them not to what? Take heed that no man deceive you. This is the message that also that he gave to them to give to the church. So from verses 4 to 14, this is for the church age of 2,000 years. The great tribulation starts in verse 15 and ends in verse 28. Amen. And this is a summary of the great tribulation, the seven-year period. Amen. The verses 29 through 31 is the third portion. Amen. The second portion, which is where Christ is returning. Now, understand what the return of Christ is, because people get the mix up of the appearing of Christ and the second coming of Christ. The first time Christ came, he was born, amen, of the Virgin Mary. The second time when he's going to return, he's going to actually touch the earth. So the first coming, he was born, he touched the earth. The second coming, he's going to come back at the end of the great tribulation. That's why it says immediately in verse Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 29, says immediately after the tribulation of those days. That's the end of the seven-year period. This is not the gathering together. Some people get this context mixed up with the gathering together of the saints, meaning that he's going to come back and get the church. No, he came back and get the church right before verse 15. Amen. So the appearing of Christ, he's just going to appear in the sky. He's going to raise the dead in Christ, and then he's going to gather the church. He's not going to touch the earth. He's just going to come back and get the saints, and he's gone back to heaven. Amen. All glory to the Most High. We're waiting on that day. Amen. But the 29th verse through the 31st verse of Matthew, the 24th chapter, is talking about the second return of Christ when we are coming back with him to the earth. Amen. And then when it says in verse 32 to 35, that's the third portion of Matthew, the 24th chapter. Amen. It's talking about the what's going to happen. Amen. The end. And then verse 36 through 44, Christ, the time of Christ is coming, is unknown. Now, what's funny about this is that it's in order up until we get to the 36th verse. Amen. Because this is actually before the Great Tribulation, where we're just talking about the coming of Christ is actually going to get the church, okay? Because he says that the hour no man knoweth, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father. He's talking about when he's coming back to get the church. Now, for some reason, this is put at the end of the rest of it, and which I thought was a little strange how it was written, but amen, but this is what it's talking about. Amen. He's talking about when Christ is coming out to get the church at this portion of Matthew, the 24th chapter. Amen. So great book, great word, great lesson, great teaching in this context. I'm just going to go over a few verses. The hour is drawing. Then we're going to get ready to close out. But I want to cover some verses with you. So let's kind of go over it. We may end up trying to cover as much as we can. We may do all of it, but let's let the Holy Spirit lead. Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 15. This is what it said. It says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Amen. So we know that this is in the tribulation. In fact, this is talking about the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Amen. Now, again, some people believe that verses Matthew 24 chapter verses 4 through 14 is in reference to the first 3.5 years. Again, I did reference that it is the first 3.5 years, but it's mainly talking about the church age. The 2,000 years also is included in that, the message to who the church, and also the conversion of the 144,000 that first 3.5 years. So you're still talking about who? Because the people in the first 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation will become what? Believers. They will become God's people. So these verses 4 through 14 is actually the church age, the 2,000 years into the first 3.5 of the Great Tribulation, meaning the 144,000. Because there are going to be some people who are going to choose to become saved during that time. They're going to choose the guillotine. They're going to say, you know what? If you have to cut my head off, I'm not receiving the mark of the beast, because we know that right before verse 15, which is talking about the Antichrist, amen. See, the abomination of desolation, amen. He's going to destroy the temple. We're talking about the Antichrist, okay? And so what is he going to do? He's going to declare himself the king of the world. He's going to have a mortal wound to his head. Amen. Satan is going to be kicked out of the second heaven. He's already kicked out of the third heaven. He can never enter before God again. And so he's going to be in the second heaven. He's going to be cast down to the earth. He's going to be mad as H-E double hockey sticks. He's going to see the dead body of the Antichrist. He's going to enter into his body, and the world is going to see on social media, your computers, your iPhone, your Androids, your Samsung, whatever you want to call them, your tablets, your TV screen, your flat screen, you're going to see him come alive on TV. Now, we'll be in heaven as the church, and he's going to declare himself the king of all, the ruler of all. He's going to declare himself God, because he's come back alive. He's risen from the dead. Remember, he won't be like God, but he's not. And what's going to happen is he's going to declare that the entire planet, just like you all have to wear masks, it's mandated to wear masks. So they pressing, they messing with your mind with these tattoos. They're getting you tatted up so you get used to marking your body. And they put on, they mandatory that everyone wear a mask. They getting your mind conditioned for the Antichrist. So when he come on the scene, he's going to tell the whole world, I want you to put that mark on your forehead, on your hand. And once you receive this mark, if you are listening and you are an unbeliever, whatever you do, don't you receive that mark. Because if you do, you are doomed to the lake of fire. Not just hell, the lake of fire. And there's no return from that. For all eternity, you shall burn and forever. You shall burn in eternal fire, unquenchable fire. You'll never get used to it. My son was telling me that he was talking to one of his friends, and one of his friends was trying to get smart and say, well, I'll get used to it. Man, you can't get used to the fire, to the high fire on this earth. So how you going to get used to eternal flame, to the lake of fire and brimstone? You can't. See, that's the foolishness that people carry in their mind from watching TV and listening to the wrong people. Kid actually said, well, I'll get used to it. You show me a person that just put constant fire on their body and they've gotten used to it. You can't. This is impossible. You will die. Well, just like your spirit will never die, you'll never get used to that flame. See, your body can't take fire. That's why you die. Well, your spirit can't take eternal fire. That's why you burn for all eternity in pain. You'll never get used to it. You ain't that good. You ain't that brilliant. You'll never get there. Okay? God is smarter than us all. He's more intelligent than us all. He created us all, which amazes me that Satan and the angels would actually go to the extent to defy God and not think that there's not going to be any consequences. I tell people all the time, there's going to be a day of reckoning for your sin. Don't you think for one that you've done things behind the dark and the curtains, and you feel like, oh, I've gotten away with it. You've gotten 80, 90 years old. You're about to go to the grave, and you've gotten away with it. No. Christ said that hell is waiting on you. In hell, you shall lift up your eyes. And then from there comes judgment. And then the angels are going to cast you into the lake of fire and brimstone if your name is not found written in the book of life. This is the message that people don't like to hear. This is where people, they get distanced. They don't want to hear this, but it's the truth. I remember when I was young, it was nothing for pastors, the old school pastors, to preach these type of messages. You don't hear it now. All people want to talk about now is about you being blessed. Give me that oil and rub it all over you, and you're going to have money in your account. See, they teach these soft messages. People got so used to this soft stuff, they don't want to hear the hardcore truth. People are so concerned about losing people. They're so sensitive now, they don't want to teach the truth. The pastor don't want to tell people about themselves when they run around a church acting like a woman, they're a man. They're so concerned about losing tithe money and losing members that they don't want to teach the truth. But this is the message that Christ gave to John to warn the church. We are to warn that we are shaking and waking up the church. Wake up. This is real. So you're not going to teach the truth. But then the harsh reality of you dying and going to hell, that's a real. You can't escape that. And then ultimately you're going to be tossed into the lake of fire. I'd rather teach this truth that you may hear it, that your soul may be liberated to eternal life, than you to be damned to the depths of hell and the lake of fire for all eternity. Because I love you. We got to teach the truth. We know sometimes it's hard to hear the truth. I understand, because sometimes I'll be listening to pastors and preachers too. I'm like, boy, that's a hard message. But it's got to be taught. Somebody got to teach it. Amen. All glory be to the Most High. Amen. Back to the word. Amen. And then it says, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Amen. As I was saying, what Daniel and Christ said, it's going to be so terrible. Amen. Let them not, which is on the housetop, not come down to take anything. Don't go back to your house. Be in the cities. They say flee to the countryside. It's going to be so terrible, man. You know, it's going to be unimaginable. People are going to be running. Amen. You know, if you in the flee to the mountains. You know, it says, woe unto them that give suck the child. In other words, they give birth. Why? Because the children are going to be gone. And if you going and remember, these people are going to be in the world, going to be unbelievers. They're not going to realize that you shouldn't be making no babies in this time. Because for one, I just told you about Revelation, the 6th chapter, verse 5. There's no food, pestilences, famines. It's barely going to be enough for a person to feed themselves. One meal going to cost you a whole day's worth of work. Can you imagine your McDonald's meal going to cost you $100 to $200 just to eat one day? You're like, man, I work. All I do is got money for food. Barely enough for two adults to eat, more or less for a child. That's why the children won't be here. But if you give suck in those days, Lord have mercy if you have a child. You're going to have to feed them breast milk, but you only give them breast milk for so long. They're going to want some meat, steak, but they want something. They're going to want what you're eating. In fact, they're going to need that. But if it's all enough for you just to eat, how are you going to feed that child? This is how we know the children will not be here during the Great Tribulation. Verse 22 says, and except those days shall, and except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. That's why we say the tribulation is only going to be 3 years. I mean, 7 years, divided into 3.5 years. It's going to be so terrible that the days have to be shortened. It said, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Now, this is in the tribulation when they're trying. Remember, we were talking about the many antichrists and the many Christ. This is actually in there. All the Christ is over here. This is the people who are going to be teaching that false religion stuff. They're going to be killing people, people who are going to be looking for the truth, trying to get saved, because the 144,000 will be preaching. The two witnesses are going to be preaching. They're going to be looking. It's going to be so terrible. People are going to be looking for it. Is Christ there? They're going to be killing people. Oh, you say you believe in Christ? Come on in here and you cut your head off. Christ has said, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, that they shall deceive the very elect. If it was possible, it says, that they shall deceive. But see, we know better because we know Christ. Amen. As he said in his word, my sheep hear what? My voice. We know Christ. I'm like, that ain't Christ. That's the Antichrist. We know what he's going to look like. Amen. We know what he's going to be. We know his character. Amen. But we know that the church won't be here. This is talking about the people going to get saved, the elect, those who have chosen to get saved during this tribulation time. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert. Go not forth. Amen. It says, behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For whosoever the carcass is, wheresoever the carcass is, there will be eagles gathered together. Amen. So we know this is referencing to Revelation, the 19th chapter, when Christ is returning back and he's going to defeat the armies of the world because they're going to have the nerve. They're going to have the nerve to try to come against Christ. And they're going to use all kind of satanic, demonic technology and knowledge to try to combat Christ, and to try to fight him. Now, this is the battle of Armageddon, where Christ is going to just destroy them with his mouth, with a sharp twist, where he's just going to speak. He's just going to decimate the armies of the world. So whatever technology that they're hiding right now, because the army boasts to have some great technology that's unseen and unknown to us. And it is. It's unknown. And what it all is ancient technology that's handed down from the fallen angels, which the demons used in the past, which they probably been using it and trying to make it, you know, try to make it better now. Well, it'll work on man, but it won't work on Christ. Okay? And this is amazing because while I was studying reading the book of Enoch, Enoch had one of the angels had acknowledged to Enoch that the knowledge that the fallen angel had is a very limited knowledge. The angel was telling Enoch that there's such great knowledge in heaven that what they took with them, the Heavenly Father was upset at them for sharing that knowledge with man, but was just saying that the knowledge that they got was really not even enough. The angel was saying to Enoch, there's so much knowledge in heaven that the greatest and the best of knowledge they didn't even get. So we think that these cell phones, the satellites, the computers, and all this stuff, the games, the stuff they're able to do with weaponry, we think this is awesome stuff. This stuff is nothing compared to what God has. That's why I say when Christ comes out, he's going to destroy them. He's going to wipe them out. And their carcasses is going to sit. And the birds, you read Revelation, the 19th chapter, the angels say that they're going to gather the birds together to feast on their flesh all over the earth. Because Christ is going to wipe them out. He's going to destroy them. This is where verse 29 and 31 says, immediately after the tribulation, now we see what Christ is coming back of those days. Because why? He has to end it because the tribulation is going to be so much bloodshed. It's going to be so terrible. Remember, Christ is also going to be judging that last 3.5 years. That's why the last part of the tribulation is known as the Great Tribulation. Because now the Antichrist going to reign terror on the world with the 666. And just so many evil things going to be crawling on the earth. Christ is just going to be judging those. People are going to be trying to kill themselves, and death is going to run from them. It's going to be sad. People are going to be trying to just kill themselves, and they can't die. See, you can't even imagine the thought of that, somebody trying to kill themselves, and they can't die. Whether they jump off a building or if they blow up, use a bomb to blow themselves up, or if they blow their brains out, they still can't die. You can't even imagine the fathom of thought. I can't even imagine the thought of that. But it's going to be so horrible that Christ is going to return. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. Lord, have mercy. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. My gosh, that's us, the church, coming back with Christ. It says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They know why they mourn him, because Christ, the true Christ they talked about, when they see him, man, I remember when I was a kid, my dad used to talk about this stuff. You used to be scared to hear about this stuff. And you see why people fear Revelation. But now once you study and read and understand Revelation, you know it's nothing for us to fear. It's like, oh, we're the church. We see, I didn't know that we were coming back with Christ. See, pastors and preachers now, they don't preach none of this stuff. They won't even touch Revelation. It's like they're scared of it. And like you say Revelation, boy, it's like they start hiding behind the pews and the benches and under the table. Like, wait a minute. This is in the Bible. We're supposed to teach Revelation. Amen? So it's important that we understand the church, there is nothing for us to fear. Now, for those out there that's talking about they don't believe in Christ, they don't want to hear that mess, I've heard it. I don't believe in that hocus pocus. All that's just smokes and mirrors, but I've heard it from people. I'm an atheist. I don't need to believe in that stuff. Oh, okay. All righty then. There is nothing for us to fear. Watch what it says. It says, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Man, that's going to be something to behold. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Amen. This is also talking about he's going to gather the elect. And what I've noticed when he says the elect, he's talking about the children of Israel. He's, in other words, Israel. God is not through with Israel. So we know he's going to deal with Israel that last 7 years. So he's going to gather those that who? Those that are dead, that have died, that have decided to believe in Christ, those who got their head cut off. If you remember over in, I believe it's Revelation 6 chapter, those that were beheaded when they were under his throne, they were saying, Lord, how long will it take for you to avenge our death? This is what it's talking about. Now Christ is about to avenge, he's about to take out his wrath. He's going to destroy those armies, that those people who have murdered the children of God in that. So you're talking about we're talking about the saints before the church age is going to be risen. And also those who have died within that 7 years that chose to believe Christ will be risen. Those are the saints. We are all the church. So you have the Old Testament saints, which is the children of Israel. You have the New Testament saints, which is the church age, which is us. And then you have the tribulation saints, which are going to be people who are going to believe in that 7 year period. Now, the Old Testament saints and the 7 year tribulation saints will be risen when Christ returns. He already came back and got the church before the tribulation. So you're going to have a resurrection before the tribulation and right at the end of the tribulation. Now, there are some scholars and theologians in Bible study, eschatology, people who study the Bible, who believe there's going to be resurrection during the tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation. I don't really doubt that. I haven't really read that while I've studied the Revelation or anyone. But I haven't really read that. I've heard that theory. Not saying that I agree or disagree with that. I just never seen it myself to confirm to say, yes, there is going to be a resurrection within. And it could be. Now, I know that there's a resurrection of the two witnesses during that last 3.5 years. And maybe that's what they're talking about. Maybe they believe that when God resurrects those two witnesses, that some saints may be resurrected during that time. I can't really confirm nor deny. I don't really say that I can believe that because I hadn't really read anything that to really confirm that. But we do know that the Old Testament saints is going to be risen when Christ comes back at the very end. Okay, and we know that the church has already been resurrected right before the Great Tribulation. So we know there's a resurrection before the Great Tribulation, before the 7 years, and right at the end of the 7 years, when he's going to end it, when he destroys his enemies. Amen. Now it says, verse 32 to 35 says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and put forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors." So it's just giving you, again, what we're talking about now. We are shaking the church. The time is near. Know the season that you are in. We can no longer deny this. It is happening all around us, and it's just mind-blowing that enough pastors in the churches are trying to go back to the way it was. We're never going back to the way it was. We're getting ready for the return of Christ, and that's the message that needs to be taught. Now, am I saying this is all you need to teach? No, this is all that I'm teaching, okay, because it's what I've been called to do, to teach salvation and love in eschatology. Amen? Okay? Because my dad has blessed us with this from a youth. I studied in school, seminary school, and I'm bringing it to you now. I've taught it through the churches down through the years, but now it's like, man, this is all I need to teach. Of course, I do teach other messages, amen. I do plan on going back to doing general Bible studies. Now, we can teach anything in the Bible, but this should be a primary message often in the churches now. It shouldn't be something that's just show up as a shadow every 20 years or 40 years. No, this is something that needs to be preached often in the churches now. If you're a pastor of a church, you have a following. I don't care if it's one or two people, if it's one or 2,000 people, or it could be 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people. This should be the message. And it needs to be more often than not. Amen. Because we should be preparing. In fact, I was just telling somebody, I think it was my wife, I was just talking about how the songs that the Old Testament saints used to sing, they just said that it was mainly about the return of Christ. You don't hear a song like that no more. She said, no, it's like they R&B song. They're like they want to be jamming now. And it's true. Did you see how Satan has crept in and did things, just removed? He wants to remove Christ. But I was just thinking about a song that they used to sing when I was a kid. Do you want to be ready when Jesus come? You don't hear them sing songs like that no more. It's like, you know what? They had it down. They knew. That's all they sung was just songs about the return of Christ mostly. Those old hymns. You don't hear them talking about return of Christ now. Everybody want to jam and shake and bake and twerk and everything else. Amen. Let's keep it moving. Amen. And verse 34 says, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Amen. But of the day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Amen. So, amen. We covered that tribulation. I had to cover this chapter because when I was reading Revelation, the sixth chapter, amen, it just so much reverted back to Revelation, the sixth chapter, or from Matthew, the 24th chapter, verses, just a lot of the verses. And then it says the time of Christ is coming and is unknown. Now, let me share something with you, how we can differentiate the appearing of Christ and the coming of Christ. One of the mysteries that Paul talked about was the church. And one of the mysteries of the church was no one knew when it was going to end. This is how we know they said the time of Christ's return, nobody knows. See, we know that at the end of the Great Tribulation, we know that Christ is coming back. That's called the second coming of Christ. His appearing, which was the mystery that Paul talked about. He said we shall not all sleep, but some of them will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. That was the mystery that no one saw coming because nobody knew. See, some people try to group the appearing of Christ to get to church and the second coming of Christ at the same time. And there's a conflict there. That's not going to happen because we say, well, how, where's the conflict? Well, we know that he talks about, let's go to the book of Jude, and I'm going to get ready to shut it down. Let's go to Jude. It doesn't take much. I'm going to share this as one. There's also in Thessalonians too, but I'm just going to share Jude with you for the sake of the time. It says in the book of Jude, Enoch said, it's in the book of Enoch too. It says Jude, the 14th chapter, there's only one chapter, 14th verse, only one chapter of the book of Jude. Jude 14 says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied. See, he talked about this a long time ago, of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. So the conflict would be is if you try to group the appearing, which is Christ coming back to get the church, at the same time as the second coming of Christ, there's a conflict. Because how can we be raised from the dead and then come back with them at the same time? That makes absolutely no sense. That means it'd be all at one time. That'd be one event. He's going to raise the church. He's going to come back with them. That doesn't make sense. He said that the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. So how could he be coming and raising them at the same time? Not saying that Christ couldn't do that. But that just doesn't make any sense that he would raise us. And as he's raising us, we're coming back with him. No. God does all things decent and in order. He's not going to do that. The church is going to be gathered together before the tribulation. We'll be taken out. We'll be judged. Our judgment will be within that 7 years. And this is how we know that our judgment is just going to be about rewards. And it's going to be about what we did for Christ. Because the Bible says only what we do for Christ shall last, and our sins will be cast into the sea of forgetfulness. This is why our judgment is going to be for 7 years. And then we're going to come back with him, as Enoch, the 14th verse says. We're going to return with Christ. Amen. So we are not going to, amen, we're not going to interrupt. Amen, the resurrection, okay? In fact, we'll be gone 7 years prior to the tribulation. We'll come back after the tribulation, amen? Then, but he's going to resurrect the Old Testament saints, and he's going to resurrect the tribulation saints, amen? So consider yourself special in a sense, amen? Because he said that we shall not all sleep, amen? So it's going to be a blessing that we could possibly never die at this time right now that we're in as the New Testament says, the church age. Amen. There are more scriptures to kind of get more in depth. We just don't have the time. One day I will cover that. Amen. That how special, not saying that the Old Testament says and the tribulation says, because the tribulation says definitely going to be special because why? They're going to be here during the Great Tribulation. They're going to decide to get saved within that 7 year period, which is gonna, man, it's gonna be something to be here. You don't wanna be here on the earth in that 7 years. That's why I'm telling people get saved now. The Old Testament saints, they're chosen people of God. He's not through with them, amen. So what I'm saying is each age is special. Each one of the ages of the saints, whether it be that 7 years, that 2,000 years, or that 4,000 years before the church age. We're all special. Amen. Or we know it's not the children of Israel wasn't a total of 4,000 years. We know that that dates back to the time of Adam. But just to let you know that we were all special. Now, I think it's like 2,000 years, I believe. It could have been a little bit more. I know that the one day I'll kind of cover that. But amen. But it's a blessing to be a part of the house of God. It's a blessing to be a child of God. It's a blessing to receive salvation, eternal life, which is the greatest gift to mankind. I'm going to take these last few minutes to open up the doors of the church, as they used to say, amen. If you want to receive salvation, this is the most important thing. If you want to know how to become saved, how to miss the great tribulation, how to miss hell, how to miss the lake of fire, Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. All you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. The Bible says that thou shalt be saved. You don't have to sit here and be number one, number two, or number three. You ain't got to have no awards. You got to have your pastor treat you special in church and be part of no certain group and picks like people have done in the past. We are the last church age, amen, as we believe the church of Laodicea described that there are many things to point out to us where we are, amen, because we know what the church of Laodicea was about. Amen. They was about prestige and who they were. Amen. They kind of walked their nose in there. If you go to church now at this day and time, you'll see that in the church big time. A lot of people got their nose in the air. Amen. The Bible said that I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, or whether thou wast cold or hot. Amen. And so we know that we are in that time. Amen. So we are in that Laodicean church. We are in the last church to go out of here. So let's get it right. Let's get right, church, and let's go home. So you remember those songs that you sing? They don't sing them songs no more. I remember those songs when I was a kid. Man, folks ain't talking about get right, church, and go home. They're talking about get out your wallet and your checkbook and put some more money in the collection plate. Let's send it around 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 more times until we get what we need, because we got some bills to pay. Got to pay the Cadillac, got to pay the wife's Cadillac bill. See, that's the type of stuff that's going on in churches now. And all along, while they sit up here playing in church, Satan he knows what's about to happen. Christ is about to come, and those that of us that believe that are saved, he's about to come and swoop them up and go on to heaven. And there are other people going to be sitting left like, what happened? Why I didn't go? Amen. Cause you didn't accept Romans 10, 9, and 10. You didn't accept them. You didn't truthfully accept Christ. There's so many people, you'd be shocked at how many people don't understand how to get to heaven. They don't know how to become saved. I know, because I've had this conversation in churches before. Because I want to know who is saved. I want to know who I'm talking to. So anytime I preach or I'm in a church, I will ask that question. How do you know you're saved? I remember one time I was just curious. I was a Sunday school teacher one Sunday. I said, you know what? I want to ask y'all. I asked a few people. I said, you know what? This ain't about embarrassing the calling on the Bible. How do you know you're saved? How do you know? If I wasn't saved, I use myself as that. If I wasn't saved, I came up to you and say, I want to be saved. So what I got to do to be saved? The first thing they all said, well, you got to live right. You got to go to church. But none of them said anything about the plan of salvation. I see it all the time on social media when people are talking about scriptures in the Bible. See, people just be talking about the Bible in the scriptures, but they don't mean that they saved. You got to know how to save people. You got to know what gets people the keys to the kingdom. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10, thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart. Paul said it best. Thou shalt be saved. Ephesians, I think it's the 2nd chapter, verses 8 and 9. That is not by works, amen, least any man should boast, amen, but by the grace of God. This ain't been taught in churches. People are telling people you got to scuffle and shuffle and shout and have the Holy Ghost. Boy, I heard so much stuff. Man, please, you got to get saved before you have the Holy Ghost. You got to accept Christ and the Holy Spirit comes in. But, hey, man, the hour is near. I'm about to get ready to shut it down. We'll be back on the air next week. Be the Most High. We'll all be actually back on the air with Elder Bazaar tomorrow, so be listening for it. I'll be on 4 p.m. our time. Family, I love you. Remember, you are royalty. I am royalty. God bless you. Until next time, you all have a wonderful day. Stay safe and stay healthy. God bless you. I love you. Take care.